Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
News, notes, and nuggets. It's time for the Rutherford Report with our Blues insider, Jeremy Rutherford. Brought to you by Scott Lee Heating Company, a proud Mitsubishi Electric Elite contractor.
T-Bone, I'm BK. Good to know that the St. Louis Blues play again tomorrow night. They'll be going up against the Chicago Blackhawks. T-Bone helping us out with that in the update. Right now, we are happy to go out to the 101 ESPN hotline to be joined by our friend and the Blues insider for The Athletic. He's Jeremy Rutherford joining us here on the show. JR, appreciate the time as always, man. Let's get into the obvious, which is a Blues team that has really seen itself kind of crumble over the last few games. What's happened, in your opinion, that has led to these kinds of issues against San Jose and Anaheim?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. First of all, I think that down the stretch here, the team realizes it's sort of an acceptance of what their fate here is down the stretch. But I think, you know, it's been a year-long trend with these losses to the bottom feeders. Anaheim, San Jose, Columbus, Chicago. I know Alex has rattled off the record against those teams throughout the year. Obviously, they've been terribly outscored by these teams. You know, I think from what I have said in the past, it goes back to what Craig Berube said. This is a team that likes to follow things, feel things out, and see how games are going to go and wait for that first period. What type of game is it going to be? How do we have to respond? And by that time, sometimes these games have been 2-0 and you're chasing a little bit. I know recently the Blues have had some good first periods against those teams and can't solve the goaltender, and then all of a sudden they're behind, and now you're kind of pulling your hair out. So it has been a tough situation for the Blues in those games, and they're definitely going to have to get that trend turned around next season.
So speaking of that trend, JR, I was reading a piece earlier today on Daily Faceoff that did an interview with Barry Trotz about his time with Nashville this season, taking over as GM, and he talked about how something that resonated with him from another GM talking about it was talking about, if I had to redo something with my team, a number of veteran players, we moved on from all of our stars, you get rid of everybody, you're going to put kids in a bad situation. And Trotz talked about that's why he went after Ryan O'Reilly and Luke Shen and why he traded away Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. He said, it was evident to me that I needed to have a couple of players that brought the good culture into our locker room, and we showed that by fighting all the way to the end of the season. I know that's a long way to ask this question, but if Barry Trotz recognized that there was a culture problem last year and changed it in an offseason, does that same thing have to happen with Doug Armstrong this season?
Yeah, I think so, but the only thing is you have to hit on those guys, and are they available? And I think that Barry Trotz, he is just such a great hockey mind.
Yeah,
everybody knows that. I don't need to remind you, but he is just great. He knows exactly what a room needs. He knew it as a player, you know, talking to people who played with him, a head coach, and now in his position as a GM with the Nashville Predators. And he found two of the best in the league. Like, if you had to sit down and put a list together of the top 20 names of guys who can come in and help change that culture, it is Luke Shen and Ryan O'Reilly. And, yeah, you're going to catch them at the tail end of their career. And, yeah, you're probably going to have to maybe give them an extra year on that contract. But it's going to be worth it because it's going to allow, as you said, to kind of teach those younger players and, you know, bring them into the league and get them into the culture and building the culture in Nashville that you're going to need to sustain that success. And so whether Ryan O'Reilly and Luke Shen are there in 4 or 5 years, they may not be and probably won't be, but their imprint on the team will be there. So, you know, is that possible for Doug Armstrong to do that one off season? You know, obviously they're not going to go back to O'Reilly. And Shen's a guy obviously not available, but I think if they can find guys like that to come in and help turn that tide, you know, that would be key to get this thing turned around faster than maybe people expect.
As a bit of a follow-up to that, JR, and I'm not trying to play the pessimistic route, I promise you. I actually think next year's team might be more fun to watch while also being a little bit worse in the standings, but should we be expecting them to be a decent amount better next year? Like, is that a fair expectation given where they're at in their retool?
Well, and I'm not trying to ride the fence here, but I honestly think that could be the hardest question to answer right now because you don't know what it's going to look like. You know, I understand that Doug Armstrong and the Blues want to be competitive. I would expect them to make some major moves. I would expect them to try to do what they can to be competitive next year. But is that removing some of these contracts and do you replace them? I find it hard to believe that they're going to jump into free agency or make major trades that's going to put you into contending status next year. I think this offseason is going to be about changing the complexion of the roster and moving out some guys that you don't think you're going to be able to win with or might not be good for that culture. And what's it going to take to move those guys? Who are you going to replace them with? I just think it's an impossible question to answer right now because, as Alex and Donnie Fandango and I said on the podcast this morning, that'll be out later today, Last Minute Blues podcast, you just don't know what this group's going to look like. Who's going to be a dance partner for Doug Armstrong to pull off some of these trades that could make that team that you're talking about next year?
So, by the way, great drop in there, JR. Just putting it on the table for the Last Minute Blues podcast. God, I love this guy. We talk so much about the word culture, and I had talked to Doug Wade about this on Sunday for our pregame show. You're in the locker room all season long. Does it feel like the culture is still off? Because that narrative was there last season with the Blues.
Well, to me, here's what it feels like, and I don't know if this will answer the question specifically, but here's what it looks like to me. I've been around this Blues locker room for 19 years. There's years where it feels whole, and it feels like this is the Blues team, and there's a core, and I can see who the leaders are, and I can see the other guys look up to these leaders. And then there are years, especially early on when I covered the team, 2006-07, where they were just in full-on rebuild mode, but there wasn't a ton of expectations or pressure, and everybody was just trying to get better. To me, and I know this is pretty obvious here, but it just feels like a total transition. Like the roster of 23 guys, it doesn't feel like a point in time where you look at the Blues roster, hey, I remember that team. They had this guy, this guy, this guy. He was a great leader, so on and so forth. To me, it just feels like a bunch of parts put together that's going to try to get you through to the next couple of years. And essentially that's what the retool is. But what I'm saying, there's so much criticism of the team. There's so much, this needs to happen. This needs to happen. I go inside this Blues locker room, guy. It just seems like you're at a salvage yard and it's a bunch of parts laying around.
Man, that is a strong comment. How do you fix that, JR? Cause like some of that is just the nature of going through a retool, right? Because like Kevin Hayes, notice, this sounds terrible. It's not disrespect to him. I promise, not meant that way at least. Like this is the kind of guy that you bring in the midst of a retool because you say, okay, listen, we know exactly what he's going to be. He's going to center our third line and he at least allows us to evaluate the players that are next to him on a line, right? But by doing that, you're also doing what you're saying, where you do have kind of spare parts, and Kevin Hayes probably is not going to be around when the Blues are good again. So is there a way to avoid doing more of that this offseason?
It's a good question, and I think I don't want to be a hypocrite, because when they brought in a couple of those guys, like a Kapanen, like a Varana, like a Kevin Hayes, I wrote stories about, Doug Armstrong is doing some great bargain basement shopping here, and he's getting guys at 50%, and it's going to help the team be somewhat competitive during this retool. But now after watching it for a year, and we've seen what's happened with specifically two of those guys, Rana and Kapanen, just hasn't been great years, and they're going to move on after this year. But now you have Kevin Hayes for two more years, and my question, whether it be now or my question to Doug Armstrong at the end of the season when we hold that press conference, would be, do you still feel like you want to be competitive and bring in a couple guys like a Kevin Hayes, because that's probably what you're shopping for in the off season. If you're not planning to give out the big bucks or the long-term contracts, which I don't think they are, do you want to do that? Is that helping you through this retool to put a product on the ice that, yeah, they're going to win some games, fans are going to keep coming to the games, as opposed to the opposite, where maybe you take a little bit of a step back and you let some of these younger guys develop and see where you're at in a couple of years till you get to the point now you can go out and make that big trade or sign those free agents. So, there's going to be so many questions, but specific to your Kevin Hayes question, how many more years do you want to do that and tie up the team in terms of finishing in the middle of the pack and getting a later draft pick than you probably could have if you didn't bring those types of guys in?
Jer, final one for me, and I apologize for putting you on the spot here because we're I'm not doing this, but we're talking about this and how you said that it feels like it's just a bunch of spare parts, and so I'm trying to think of the last time that it felt that way in a transition for the Blues, and the roster I'm looking at right now was 2009-2010. This was the year following where the Blues were able to get into the playoffs on that big stretch that they had in the second part of the season, but you're looking at it, they had the young pieces in the Oshies and the Perrons and the Berglunds and the Petrangelos. They had the veterans in the McDonald's and the Paul Kariyas and the Keith Tkachuks. So it felt like you were making progress. The difference with this roster now and that roster back then feels like that one had the veterans that players were willing to listen to. And I'm not trying to be cruel here, but does it feel like that the veterans on this side right now with this roster might not have as much of an impact as the Tkachuks and the Kariyas did?
Or that the young players were more willing to listen?
That's the other thing, too.
Yeah, and to answer it, I got to start it off by saying, yes, it does feel like a salvage yard. Yes, it does feel like a lot of spare parts, but there's so much to look forward to in terms of the neighbors, the Toropchenkos, the Kessels, the Joel Hofers, those guys. So there is a ton of upside as to what's going on here. And you reflect back to that year. Yes, it's a great comparison. There were a lot of aging veterans on a roster with a lot of good young up-and-coming players. You know, the names that you just mentioned, Keith Tkachuk being at the top of the list, just a ton of respect for those guys. Like, they couldn't say something without four guys, Oshie, Perron, Berglund, listening to what he said and trying to learn from it. You know, I see a similar situation here with a couple of the guys, a Braden Schenn, you know, universally respected within this locker room, a Justin Falk. You know, some of these other guys, too, even though I'm not going to name them all, I think there's some respect for them. I just think that these guys, these young guys, they know the future is ahead of them. They know they're on the right track. You talk to a Snuggerud or a Dvorsky, and they will tell you, look at all these prospects. We know we have something building here. So I think there's a ton of upside. You know, whether they take something along the way from a Falk crew, you know, Schenn, those guys, you know, that's behind the scenes. That's, you know, conversations that we're not privy to. I think it can be that way, but I don't think you can match some of the names that you mentioned, some of the bigger names in the sport, some of the guys who every time they said anything, you were definitely clinging on to it. So somewhat similar situation.
He's Jeremy Rutherford. You can find his great work over at The Athletic, and be sure to follow him on Twitter as well, at JP Rutherford. Jer, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. Thanks so much. We'll talk with you again soon.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks.